Good afternoon and welcome. This afternoon's session, overview of business intelligence in Microsoft Office and Office 365. My name is Peter Myers. I've come all the way from Australia to share my knowledge, experience, and passion around working with business intelligence by using productivity tools in Office, and more recently with the Power BI add-ins. So the session outline for this 75 minutes is to introduce what is Microsoft broadly doing in this space, and then how can we enable self-service business intelligence via Office, SharePoint, cloud scenarios, and also SQL Server. Then we'll wrap up with a summary, and I'll promise you numerous demonstrations to bring to life the topics and the points that need to be made in this session. So let's start with the introduction. We all recognize this. The world of data is changing. I shared dinner with some colleagues last night, and we just remarked on TechEd 10 years ago was the first event that I did in Australia, and how it was a very different conversation we were having with customers and partners about their data needs. Today we see that the topics are all about big data and real-time, large volumes, complex formats of data. And so while we're collecting this data at an increasing rate, we continue to have the challenge of how we can deliver meaning from this data back to the business. Now, it implies that if we're collecting data and storing this data, that we intend to use it and to discover some knowledge and to relay that to the relevant people that have questions that need to be answered. So these are the challenges that we have today. Increasing volumes of data, increasing demands for real-time insights, deeper and deeper from the data that is being collected. So Microsoft's strategy and vision has not changed in the 15 years that I've been working with it, although the topics and direction of those topics is a little different. You know, we now talk about cloud services, large volumes, and as I mentioned, real-time delivery. So the strategy and vision hasn't changed, but the tool sets have adapted to evolve with the technological advances. And that's what we're here to describe, what the current and the recent offerings in Office, SQL Server, and SharePoint deliver to enable business intelligence for you. So let's take a look at it from the categories of exploration, visualization, and especially when we're talking about self-service analytics. And let me be clear about this. We're talking about an audience that are not from the IT department. We're talking about employees. We would probably generically call them an analyst. And their tool of choice is most likely going to be Excel. Who said that first? So, need to let you know that I have these calamari rings that are orange. I had to ask, what are these? And apparently they're wrist badges. And I have six to give away in this session. And this entitles you to an extremely exclusive event, which is the office party on Thursday night. So congratulations, number one. I.e., I'm encouraging interaction in this session.
Thank you.
There are five to go. All right, so Excel being the tool of choice for the analyst, and why wouldn't it be? Because this is the most familiar productivity tool when it comes to data and manipulation, whether it's a simple spreadsheet, a financial plan, or a business intelligence solution that I'll share with you today. So the analyst can produce these solutions, but what does the IT department think of enabling analysts to produce solutions that could potentially be shared within the organization? Are IT impressed with this? Maybe, but they might be concerned about a potential lack of control. Is it these solutions are being produced, potentially duplicating data, duplicating logic, duplicating effort to what they're doing? Or perhaps it's not duplicating effort, but it is not aligned to the business rules that the company has decided on. So we would like to ensure that when we enable the analyst to produce solutions, that there's some form of governance. And that could simply be that there are review and auditing, or just ensuring it's stored in a location that is being backed up, or it's being adequately secured, it's being documented in case that employee leaves and takes the knowledge with them. All right, so we do usually want to encourage a self-service environment, but to the mutual benefit of IT and the analyst. And with this mutual benefit, we're looking to mitigate risk through governance, and we'll have these discussions in this session today. So when it comes to exploration, we're looking to combine data sets, potentially large data sets, and this has been practically limited in Excel on the desktop simply because Excel has limits. If you're going to load data into a worksheet of a workbook, what is the maximum number of rows currently supported? Close enough number? 200? No. Hand up down here. 2 million? No. Another hand up, please. 1 million. I'll take that as a round number. So 1,048,576 is the precise number, but sir, in the second row, I will provide you with one access to a party. Where does that number come from? It's actually 2 to the power of 20, and that is the limit we have. And I can tell you 10 years ago that that limit was probably reasonable. It was very unusual that people would reach that limit with the volumes of data that they were working with, but today that's easily exceeded. Okay, and that's where Power Pivot comes in. The ability to load data into the workbook, but not to the worksheet. It is loaded into a data model. It resides within the workbook document, but it enables us to store potentially large volumes of data. I've seen even in excess of 100 million rows of data compressed and stored in a data model in Excel, and this is achieved with Power BI, and specifically the Power Pivot add-in. Now, to access data, and typically there's a requirement to access, filter, transform, cleanse the data before we load it into the workbook or the data model. We have a second add-in, which is Power Query. And if you're familiar with data warehousing terminologies and ETL, the extract, transform, and load, you can think of Power Query as ETL for the business analyst in Excel. Next, when we have that data model, with our clean, credible, combined data, we then want to discover insights, and an effective way to achieve this is via visualization. So there are two additional add-ins provided with Power BI. There is Power View that provides interactive exploration of data that's visually compelling. Here's an example. And the other approach would be Power Map, telling stories with maps, potentially with animation distributed as videos. So I'm going to tell this story to you today in this 75-minute session. The last topic about control is that IT would like some ability to know what is happening, to monitor health, to audit, approve, and ensure that access is secure. And so there is a governance discussion to be told as well. When that workbook is published to the Power BI site in the Office 365 environment. So let's talk about enabling self-service BI. Let's start the topic with Office. So the productivity tools installed on the desktop, and notably Excel. You can think of Excel as the tool of choice for self-service analytics, and it plays a major role in enabling self-service discovery, modeling, and visualization. Notably, there's a small story to be told with Visio as well. The ability to bring diagrams to life based on data and to provide these in a dashboard experience through the web. And I'll demonstrate that for you this afternoon as well. So let's switch into demo mode. I think Power BI speaks best as demonstration. So I am somewhat limited with a 75-minute session. I could talk for 2 days on this topic. So I've already produced a Power Pivot data model, and I'm going to continue a story with you. So let me provide you the background. This is a fictitious company. It's the Tailspin Toys retailer. It sells model aeroplanes, model helicopters to United States customers. Now, if anyone has ventured into the hands-on labs, this is loosely based on the hands-on labs that I created for Microsoft and that are available here at TechEd Europe, and I'll give you more detail on these at the end of this session. But our starting point in this demonstration is with a data model that brings together a subject area of sales. And you can see the highlighted table is sales, and related tables give us information about products, about states, and broken into region. And then, of course, critical to any model design is that you have a date table to allow flexible analysis across time. And there's a hierarchy included in this table to support the navigation from year down to quarter down to month. This was created from Power Pivot based on a SQL Server database, and the date table, in fact, comes from an RSS or an OData data service. So here's an example that we can combine data from different sources and, indeed, different formats. Now, the story continues like this. is that I produce this data model and it does answer questions about revenue generated by product, by state, and by different time periods. And my manager takes a look at this and says, well, this is fantastic, but how do we measure the effectiveness of our marketing campaigns by state? Sure, we can look at the total sales by state, but how effective are they by state? And what she's asking for is a sales per capita analysis. If we can take the sum of sales by state, divide by population, then we've got a meaningful measure to compare the states and their effectiveness to penetrate their local markets. So I connect to the corporate systems and I start to look for population data. I need reasonably current statistics, population by state, and should I be surprised that there is nothing in the corporate system to support me here? So somewhat naively, I walk on down to the IT department and I contact the data warehouse manager and I say, this is urgent, my manager has this request, I need population data now. Could you add it to the data warehouse so I can add it to my data model? And the response quite naturally is, no. This is not a priority. It's not aligned to our objectives. As far as we're concerned, this is perhaps a one-off ad hoc request. The good news is, with a tool like PowerPivot, we will trust you in your capacity to discover a credible source of data, and you can do this without our assistance. And let me show you in demonstration how this could be achieved. So my discovery process takes me to the internet, whereby I discover that the US Census have a website, and they publish a simple page that looks like this. And this provides me an HTML table, state, population, rank. The rank is of no relevance to the activity that I have. And one technique would have been in the old days is that you'd actually copy and paste this into the Excel workbook, and then you would go ahead and manually manipulate it to meet your purpose. Well, with Power Query, the URL to this website or this web page becomes the data source. And I copy that to the clipboard, I switch across to Excel, and because I have downloaded the Power Query add-in from Microsoft, installed it, and by the way, this is available for Office 2010, Office 2013, Professional Plus editions, I can then use the from web, paste in the URL, and it will generate a query to connect to that page, and it brings back to me and says, there are some sources of data that you could be interested in. And simply by hovering over table zero, you see I have a peek here of what the data looks like. This is, in fact, the HTML table. So satisfied that that is the correct source, I right-click, edit, and that creates a Power Query and launches the Power Query window. Let me maximize that and show to you here on the right-hand side that the query has its settings, what is its unique name, and what are the steps involved in producing the query? Now, what's beautiful about Power Query is it's a language that allows you to iteratively source and transform data. And each additional step is transforming it into a new shape. The selection of the very first step shows me the source of data. The second step actually selected the HTML table. The third step, and watch closely here at the column values that you see, these are currently left justified because they're being interpreted as text. But the smarts included in Power Query detect that that is in fact numeric and it applies a change of data type. So these three steps have produced the result that we see here, and then you can add your own custom steps to produce the desired output. The steps go like this. Having the United States in here is not relevant. I need to filter it out. If I want the United States, I would simply aggregate all states together. So apply a filter to add a fourth step, as you see here, to the query. I then rename the number column to become census population. And as the rank is not required, right-click, remove. The result is a query consisting of these six steps to transform the data. And it is completely refreshable. I can run this query logic, assuming the data may change on the internet, and get the latest data transformed. The last thing that I do is provide a unique name for the query. And as I will be loading this directly into the data model, this will become the name of a table in the PowerPivot model. So I've named it state population. And then on the home ribbon tab, I close and load. And my options are this. Only create the connection. Otherwise, it would load the data into the Excel workbook as a table. And the last checkbox, go and load this directly into the data model. So that Power Query is now defined in the workbook. It runs the query, retrieves 51 rows, I'm hoping. And even if we hover over this, a peak shows us the output of that query. And now that I switch across to the Power Pivot window, we see the addition of a new table. So this is, in fact, a fourth technique to load data into Power Pivot. The first three include copy and paste, external data sources like a SQL Server database, or a linked table from the Excel workbook into the model. And the fourth, and perhaps the most powerful, because like an ETL developer, you have this ability to transform and cleanse and then load directly into the model. So the next activity is to somehow consolidate this with the existing model and to enable the delivery of a sales per capita calculation. So a slight dilemma is that I have a state table and I have a state population table. These are actually a one-to-one relationship. And while you see established relationships already here, the only type of relationship supported is one-to-many. All right, so I'm going to use a different technique, which is going to achieve a lookup to take the population from state population and create a new column in the state table. Right-click the state table, go to, add a new column that will be defined by using a DAX function called lookup value. Now, Excel has the equivalent, a VLOOKUP function. And generally, this is my test, by the way, if I'm looking for a potential customer for Power Pivot, I'll ask them whether they're already working with a VLOOKUP function. And if the answer is yes, it's, well, did you know that you can do data integration far easily by simply loading the data in table form into Power Pivot and establishing relationships? It's now a metadata configuration rather than a formula for each row of data that you have. All right, so with the lookup value function, I'm going to look up the value of census population where there is a match on the state column matching the value of the state column in this table. And with that DAX function, I then integrated a lookup value into my state table. I can now rename this to become census population. And then with the column selected, I use the auto sum capability up here. And these are the six prominent aggregation functions that Power Pivot uses. And I tell it to perform a sum aggregation across that column, and that adds down the bottom what's known as a calculated field, sum of a misspelled census population. I'm going to rename that so it's simply population. And then I'm going to add a format definition, so if it's ever used in reporting, it would be a number expressed as a whole number with a 1,000 separator. Now at this stage, I then hide the column to ensure that anyone connecting to the data model doesn't even know about its existence. What they have is a formula that according to their filter context will filter the correct states and aggregate to give us the sum of population. For example, if I want the sum of the Northwest, I will get all of the Northwest states and their population as a result. I can now switch across to my sales table, and I'm going to extend it with a new calculation, which is the sales per capita. So down here, I'll define a calculation that is sales per capita equals, and DAX has a divide function. Simply divide sales by population. Wrong function key. And this function here will give me the ratio of sales over population, precisely what my manager is looking for. Does anyone know why I use the divide function? Is that you saying that? I have a badge for you as well. Would you mind coming up at the end of the session? Or I can give it to you at the end. In Excel, it becomes very tedious, doesn't it? If my denominator is zero, don't do this. If it's not, do this. DAX provides a shorthand. Just divide the two, but it will test the denominator. And should it be missing or blank, your result will be blank. So with this formula, I've now extended the model with a calculation that I will format down to two decimal places. And we can see overall that it's computing 13 cents. So for all time, all states, all products, we're achieving 13 cents per 306 million Americans. If I show you now the model in its extended form, in diagram view, we now see the addition of sales per capita. We see the addition of a population. And I'm going to hide this table as if it never exists. The Power Query has contributed its population, integrated into state, and its aggregation becomes the denominator of my sales per capita. At this point, I can then produce reports. Let me add a pivot table to my workbook based on the data model. So the interesting thing about the Power Pivot data model is it's an internal data source, and you connect to it with tools that can query by using MDX or by DAX. Now, MDX is the query language for cubes. DAX is the formula and query language for tabular models like Power Pivot. But the cool thing is, because it will allow MDX tools to query it, pivot tables, cube functions, reporting services could connect to it in certain scenarios and query this as if it were an analysis services cube. It's very, very clever the way that they built this. So let's take a look at the field list. And immediately I can come to sales and I can just bring in sales per capita. Okay, so you'll see here the result is 13 cents. That's what we saw in the modeler. Let's add some filter context by placing the calendar hierarchy on filters. And I'm going to filter this down to calendar year 2013. We saw that 2013, 10 cents per person. And then from the state table, I have a state, and there's the answer that I'm looking for, or my manager is looking for. So I right-click here. Let's sort these in descending order to appreciate that the best sales per capita result is being achieved by the state of Delaware. And to show visually this a little more interesting is we can use conditional formatting, applying a data bar and locking it in, you get to see relative distribution, and this is precisely what my manager is looking for. Let's just decorate that with a sales calculation. We could also use performance monitoring here. What if I switched back to the sales table, and as a result of a review meeting, we've decided that there's a certain minimum that should be achieved. Let's define a key performance indicator that says that really we would like you to achieve at least 50 cents. And if you get between 30 cents and 50 cents, it's off track, but it's not critically off track. And so by adding this metadata layer on top, we now have a key performance indicator, and I can switch back here, and I can also bring in status. That's the Power Pivot story. It's also the Power Query story, working very, very well together to allow us to explore our data. A very basic visualization with a pivot table. And the next part of the story would be to visualize this in a far more impressive way by using PowerView. So PowerView is now made available to us in Office 2013 with Excel, Professional Plus Edition. There is a requirement that you have Silverlight on the desktop. Okay? And if you have that winning combination, you next need a tabular model to report from, of which PowerPivot is an internal tabular model that can be queried by DAX, and let's take a look at how this works. Now, before we dive into PowerPivot and PowerView, we need to turn back to the PowerPivot development topic because there's extra things we can do to fully exploit some of the unique capabilities available in PowerView. So photographs can be displayed. We can have tooltips turn up. We can do all sorts of things. So let me just dive in and show you. When I right-click the product table, I have the ability to add a description. So if you need to provide extra detail about columns, tables, calculations, you can do so through text. These are the products defined by marketing. If you want photographs to appear in PowerView, There are two approaches to this. You can load the binary data that represents the photograph into the model itself. Or the other approach, which is often preferred, is that you would have a URL reference to an image stored on a web server. The latter is usually preferred because it doesn't bloat the size of your data model with a lot of binary data, which doesn't compress and store very, very well. However, the technique that I will use will be to go back to the SQL Server database for the product table using the design ribbon and the table properties. I can come back and add in the photo column that is binary data. Now, we do acknowledge that it's very rare that you'd find an operational system would store the photograph of a product as well. It's very convenient for me in this case. It's a sample system. It's been rigged to do so. And the reason this is important is that my intention is to take my PowerPivot workbook and publish it to the cloud and have PowerView interactivity with those images. And if your intention is to achieve this, you can only do it with embedded images. If it's an on-prem or a desktop PowerView interaction story, you can do it with references. So now that I've added that extra column, I'll point out to you that there is a property for the column on the Advanced tab called Data Category. And the Data Category allows you to describe the content of a column, and in this case, it's going to be an image. So PowerView will interpret this metadata and improve the experience of exploring and visualizing data. Now, if I go to the state table, I'll point out that the state column is state or province suggested. So by default, PowerPivot will inspect the data that you're loading. I don't know how it does it, but it has some algorithm that can detect content. And when you see the word suggested, it said you didn't do it. PowerPivot did it on your behalf. Now, of course, you can override that, or if it didn't detect correctly, assign an appropriate category. All right, back to the product table. Table behavior. So in this dialog, we have the ability to assign, well, it's called the unique identifier, but you can think of it as the primary key. If it's going to retrieve a single image, it needs to know how to uniquely locate a single row in the table. Now, this product doesn't have the concept of product key, foreign key. It does have the concept of a relationship, but it abstracts you from these developer concepts that an analyst may not necessarily be skilled to understand. However, if you want images to work, you must configure table behavior. You must have a unique column, and I've configured it here. I'm also going to configure the default label, which would be the product column, and a default image that PowerView might refer to in certain scenarios. Next, there's the default field set. Now, when the PowerView product team were putting the product together, one of their guiding objectives was to ensure that you could achieve interactive, visually compelling reports with as few clicks as possible. So to achieve this, one way to do this is to use a default field set. That for a table, these are the fields in this order, and when a user clicks on the table, those fields will be added as a single table. So there's only two that I'm interested in, the product name itself and its photograph. And I'll demonstrate shortly that with a single click of that table, default field set is added to my PowerView report. That is, in brief, part of the optimization you might go through. And then having done this, we can switch back to Excel. And then I'm going to go ahead and insert PowerView. And with no range of data selected, and be careful with that, if you have a range of data selected, the default behavior is to load that range into the model and then produce a PowerView report on top of it. If you have a single cell selected, it says, well, if there's an internal data model, we'll use it, which is what it has done. And in the top right corner, you can see the field list representing the data model that it is connected to. And when I hover over the product table, you can see the tooltip or the description coming back that these are the products defined by marketing. Let's provide a better name for this, PowerView. And I'm going to produce a report that will be state sales per capita. Expanding the date table, it reveals all of the resources, including a year column. And simply by checking the column, which is now referred to as a field, it adds it as the first column of a new table. And this is the whole thing about PowerView. Everything starts as a table, and then you have the ability to transform that visualization into other types. Now, there's one special capability that if this table is a single column table, you can switch it to become a slicer. And this then supports interactive filtering by the user. So now the filter context for this report is set to calendar year 2013. Clicking in a blank area allows me to define a new table. So let me bring in from the state table, I have state, and you see the little globe here? That is a categorized column that is a spatial column. So that gives some feedback that you can do mapping against this field. So with the state, I bring in the sales per capita. Resize it, and this two-column table then can be switched across up here by using switch visualizations, and I'm going to select the map. Now, the desktop needs to communicate with the Bing Maps service, so it is asking for my approval, and having approved this, it will communicate to do two things. It'll retrieve the map images, and because my map data is text data, simply the name of the state, it uses the Bing Maps service to geocode this into coordinates, and then it plots the results back here. To make this a little more interesting, if I bring in the item type, you see that it adds this to the color. And therefore, each of the points, size representing sales per capita with Delaware the largest, and then the pie segments representing the categorizations by color. To make this even more compelling and interesting, we have that photograph. So if I take the photograph from the product table and I add it to the tiles, I can now filter by year and filter by a single product. Okay, in which case, we don't need the item group because each product belongs to an item group. And so with as few clicks as possible, and I guess if someone counted them, there's probably a dozen or so to achieve this reasonably impressive-looking report to discover insights about the effectiveness of our marketing campaigns. Any questions about PowerView? One question back here with a raised hand. Right, so the story so far is a desktop story. We're going to take this workbook and publish it to the Power BI site, and then I'll talk to you about what you get up there. That'll come at the second half of this presentation. Okay, that's three Power BI add-ins down. There is one to go. So to impress my manager even further, how about we use Power Map to visualize sales per capita and tell a little bit of a story and publish this as a video? And that's achieved at the moment in Office 2013 by downloading the Power Map add-in. It is currently in preview. If you're with Office 365, Power Map's just built in. So we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about the differences of Office 2013, Office 365, following these demonstrations. For now, because I've downloaded that add-in, I can insert and launch Power Map. And it will enable me to create a story based on my PowerPivot data model. And so the way I'd like you to think about PowerMap is that you've become a movie director. And a movie director is there to tell a story through a movie. On a smaller scale, you're here to tell a story through a tour. And you do that through a variety of scenes. And the scenes will show a different map, and you can layer your data. Usually one layer, but potentially more than one. For example, temperature as a heat map and our sales as column charts on top. All right, so let's take a look at a basic tour here. On the left-hand side, we have the tour editor. This is going to be the sales per capita review. It's like the title of my movie. And then I configure the very first scene and give it a name, US review. As a movie director, you can control how many seconds will this scene play for. And then you can direct to the cameraman. what visual effects should be used. And I'm going to go for, a circle. The next thing would be to create a binding between the PowerPivot data model and the map. And the way that that's achieved in this particular data model is that in the state table, we have the state field. This is state and province. Click next. It reads the data, and you see automatically it's pivoting the world around, and it's showing you a data point for each state. The next thing that I would configure is that we're interested in the value of sales per capita. Aha. Sales per capita disappeared. Does anyone know why? I have another one of these. One is gone. I have two left. Nobody knows why? Unfortunately, at this stage, PowerMap doesn't support KPIs. And having converted the calculated field to a KPI, I've lost the ability to report on it here. So I'm going to switch the story slightly to sales. All right, I didn't anticipate that one. What you will now see when you zoom and pan is that those points become column charts. And perhaps a better visualization at this stage would be the polygons. For certain territories, we've got shapes already defined. You cannot create custom ones, but Microsoft have defined a number of different regions, including the states of Australia, provinces of Canada, and so on. I would come and configure the layer properties for this and tell it to be a little bit more contrasting. And if I was to zoom in and locate Delaware, well, it's not sales per capita anymore, unfortunately, but Delaware over here would have come up as the darkest color. And therefore, relative to color, we would learn what's going on in the US. So that's the story that I want to tell for scene one. For scene two, when you add a second scene, it's simply a clone of the first. And then what I'm going to do is create a scene called Texas Review. And I'm going to switch this to a flat map. And to find Texas, I can use the find location, type in Texas, zoom across, and then maybe change the visualization across to bubbles. And we'll put the demographic in there as well. And having done that, we've now got pie charts, and you can then annotate and even show descriptions through dynamic fields. So just show the state name, and then just show the demographic and the sales that have been achieved. You could also add JPEG images. And then for 6 seconds, this is the story that we're telling, and I'm telling the cameraman that he should use a flyover effect. Now, what can you do with this map? There are three options. You can interact with it on the desktop. You can take snapshot images and paste them into a Word document. Perhaps the most impressive way to deliver the PowerMap tour is via an MP4 video. So you would then go ahead and create video, and then you have options that would balance quality versus time and size of file. And also this very, very cool feature here to add a soundtrack. And so what I love about this is that you can add a whole new dimension to your data telling story. No longer is it just data and visualizations, but it's also using a new sense. All right, so let me share this with you. All right, so my imagination works like this. Thank you. That when your story isn't a good story, you're going to play some very upbeat music, aren't you? Bad data, but then some really happy music in the background. Another demonstration that I have for another time is the same data with two different organ works. So Toccata and Fugue in D minor, so very ominous. And then you have Vidor's Toccata, a very jubilant piece of music. And the same data just looks and feels different. So if you've got a terrible message to tell your managers, perhaps the soundtrack is a key feature you'll be looking for. So pretty much that concludes the story of Power BI. Four add-ins that you can install to enhance the Excel experience to support data analytics with exploration and visualization. Now, there's more to discuss because Excel has other features that aren't part of the Power BI add-ins, but they complement what you can achieve with Power BI. So pivot tables I've already demonstrated. They use MDX. They can query an external data model like a cube, but we can also query the internal data model. So you can use pivot tables to also express your Power Pivot data. Cube functions is one of my favorite topics when it comes to visualizing data in Excel. Since Excel 2007, there are seven cube functions that enable you cell by cell to retrieve members and values and do what you want with them. So you're not locked into this pivot table experience that it's not a bad experience, but if you want to customize and control and perhaps build a dashboard layout, a pivot table won't do this. But cell by cell, the cube functions can achieve this. I have a demonstration for you in one moment. Apps for Office is a new capability delivered with Office 2013 and Office 365, enabling you to embed HTML visualizations into the workbook. These are sourced from the Microsoft Store. Some of them are free. Some of them you might pay with your credit card, $2.50. Once you've added them, you can then pass ranges of data into them, and by using web development technologies like HTML5, JavaScript, they can very safely express data in new and interesting ways. So this is an extensibility story. For larger organizations, they may commit development effort to create in-house apps to be used for visualization in Excel. So I'll demonstrate these for you in a moment as well. Other features to highlight that will work on the desktop, and importantly, if your intention is to publish to the cloud and to deliver through a web interface, these are the supported features that will continue to work up there. If you're going to work with things like ActiveX controls, they may work on the desktop, but they will not work if you publish them to the cloud. Are there any questions at this stage? All right, indulge me while I give you a demonstration on producing a dashboard layout in Excel by using cube functions and apps for Office. So working in the very same workbook, because I want this dashboard to be based on the Power Pivot data model. But what I'm going to do is switch to an empty sheet, and this is just going to be called my dashboard. And by the way, I name the worksheets because once it's published, the navigation between reports is achieved through the tabs. So my suggestion is meaningful, concise names to support navigation within the workbook. Now, the starting point for cube functions, let me show you. If I build up a formula and simply type in cube, there are the seven cube functions that you've had since Excel 2007. They use MDX. They were designed to connect to an external analysis services connection, which would be a cube. As I've described, Power Pivot is tabular and may be queried with MDX. So we can query them by using a data connection called the This Workbook Data Model. And so you'll see on the data tab that when I show you the workbook connections, this is an intrinsic connection that represents the data model. So in the cube functions, we're simply going to pass a reference to that connection, and then we can query it to retrieve sets, members, and values. If you're new to the cube functions, I'd strongly recommend that you start with a pivot table. So if I insert a pivot table in this location, and this one's a little odd. When I say use an external data source, technically it's not right. But it is the way and the technique that you will use to go ahead and select the tables in workbook data model. And when you select that as your connection, the pivot table is then based on the data model. And then if you build up a pivot table that closely resembles what you want, you can then break the pivot table into individual cell formulas. So I'll start by placing the calendar hierarchy into filters, and I want the region also in my filters. And then simply I want to show state, and then I want to show sales per capita. Next, I want to provide interactivity from the product dimension by enabling people to filter by different demographic states. So by right-clicking the demographic here, I can add this as a slicer. And the slicer then provides this very intuitive and easy way to filter across the pivot table. So the filter options are filter by a time period, even down to quarter and month level. Filter by a particular region, I'll choose the Midwest. And then I'm interested in the statistics that are professional related. And by pressing the control key, I can build up multiple options. And if I want everything, I simply reset in the top right corner to get everything. And users work this out very, very quickly. So slices were added in Excel 2010. They work beautifully against not just data models, but also relational sets and tables of data in Excel. And when we publish this to the cloud, we can interact with these slices in the web-delivered experience. All right, now that I've completed the design of my pivot table, let me just resize and move things around a little bit. Is that on the Analyze contextual ribbon, you have the ability to use OLAP tools, and it's this one here. Now, it's a one-way process. When you take a pivot table and convert it, apart from an immediate control Z to undo, you're pretty much not going to make it back into a pivot table again. So spend as much time getting it as close as possible. When you convert it, there is one question that we need to answer, and that will be, should the filters themselves be converted also to formula? And that's the little checkbox we have here, convert report filters. And I like the concept of leaving them because that provides a great interactivity feature. You've got this drop-down hierarchy capability, and yet the pivot table layout, and let me point this out to you, sales per capita here is really a formula that says with this cube member, based on the this workbook data model, use this MDX to retrieve a single member from, in this case, the measures dimension. Now, it's interesting. Tabular models don't have a measures dimension, but in MDX, it knows how to translate that. And then if we take a look at the first state of Illinois, we also have a cube member. This time from the state dimension, from the state hierarchy, retrieve Illinois, and the ampersand means by its key value. And where does the value of 6 cents come from? Well, this is using the cube value function. So it's interesting to note here, looking at the formula, what you see is that the filter context is being passed in. As many hierarchies and sets of members on those hierarchies are passed in. So we see that calendar year 2013 is passed in, as is Midwest, as is Illinois, as is the slicer. And the slicer represents a set of members on a hierarchy level, and it can be used to filter via a cube value. All right. So at this point, and the benefit of breaking the pivot table is that I've now got custom control about this layout. And I'm going to do something like this. Up here it says row labels, just some text. I'm going to introduce a cube set function based on the This Workbook data model. And I'm sorry if that size is small, I can't zoom in on that part of the window. But then it enables me to build up, if I go down to my state dimension, to my states hierarchy, to the all member at the top, to Midwest, you could build up the MDX that will resolve to a single member. Now, with some basic MDX knowledge, at this point, I divert from the IntelliSense, and I use the children function, which in MDX says, return all the children members beneath the Midwest, and that returns a set. Next, there's an optional caption, and I'm just going to put the word state in there. So essentially what I've got now in my cell is a formula to retrieve. A set that represents all children of Midwest, and put the word state in the cell. So anyone looking at this report does not appreciate that there's actually a set retrieving members in this cell. And then I'm going to update the formula here to use the cube ranked member function. go and retrieve a single member from that set, which is in B4. Does anyone know the function key to toggle between the different relative absolute states? Who said F4? Okay, please see me at the end. I have one more left. Why is it people in the front are winning these things? If you press F4, you toggle between all the states. So I'm going to toggle to get $B, $4. And then what I want is rank number one. And rank number one happens to be Illinois. Rank number two is going to be Indiana. And if I change one to be row of A1, what I have now is a formula that when I copy this down all the rows, it's going to give me A1, A2, A3, 1, 2, 3. So it's retrieving the different ranks within the set. So let me copy that all the way down. I have a grand total. I'm simply going to delete that. And I'm also going to highlight the background to make this more visually appealing. And now let's see what happens, that if I modify the MDX up here and instead of Midwest, I'm going to use a named range here that is region. And now I can dynamically produce the MDX required to retrieve the set of members according to the selection in that box. So let me show you. So let's just make sure that's copied down. If I now change this from Midwest to New England, the set resolves and then the ranked members appear. But notice what happens when you request a rank beyond the size of the set. You get an error. All right, so I'm going to fix that with an Excel function that is simply if error, return empty string. So now we have this ability to change and dynamically see the states. The next thing to address is the sales per capita. So this value function, it no longer needs to filter by the region. States belong to one region, so we simply filter by the state. And I'm also going to use an if error, because it will error if there is no state member to be passed in. Did I not copy that down? Beautiful. So now we've got the ability to filter by here and also by time period. All right, let me make this look a little more like a report. I'm going to make these with a background of blue and a color of white. Make them bold. And the slicer can also be styled. So the slicer has options and to bring in a nicer color like this. Beautiful. All right, the next part of the demo is to bring in an app for Office. I would like to visually show these on a map. So I'm just going to make a little space here. I'm going to widen the column. Save everything. And then select this is my range that I want to map. On the insert ribbon then, and so this is what you'll now find available to us, is apps here. And some of the more common apps, the free ones too, are directly exposed. If you simply go to the store here, you'll need to authenticate with a Microsoft account, and then you can browse the catalog. I'm going to introduce a Bing map. So it's adding in this little HTML application. And I'm going to just bring the zoom down. It'll be easier to edit this. Not that down. I'm just going to place it there and resize it. And what it wants then is to know what range of data is it expressing. And I can achieve that up here with the filters, select the data, and the current range is selected, and it maps it. And there's some nice configuration options, so let's make this green. And so now you can see as we change even the filter context, so no professional in the Northwest in 2012, What about 2013? There's the result. If I switch across to another region, show me what happened in Midwest. Bang. And this is what I love about the cube functions. They allow you to do things beyond what PowerView could achieve, what pivot tables were designed to do. They could also be the bridge. So data mining add-ins need to mine data from a table. All right, use the cube functions, bring them in, wrap them into a table, mine the results through the add-ins. And Visio Services is another story that you could use the cube functions as a bridge with. That's producing an Excel dashboard with the cube functions and apps for Office. Visio. So Visio as a tool for BI is sort of an unusual combination, wouldn't you think? But the fact is, as a diagramming tool, there's the ability to connect to external data and to bring in values that can be represented with shapes. So I think this one is best shown in demonstration. And the example that I have for you here is to work with Tailspin Toys, and that they have a simple network diagram consisting of 5 servers, and they would like to convey status. If a server is online, it should be green. If it's offline, it should be red. And this should be delivered through a web access through Office 365. So let me show you that I have prepared some of the data. And I have a list here called server list, and basically the 5 servers. Let the internet wake up. Server list. The 5 servers that I have in the diagram are here in a very, very simple list. So you see we have server and we have status. And currently all running except the web server apparently is stopped. Okay. You can maintain this data. Let's just make everything running. And then I'm going to switch across to Visio. And on its data ribbon, we can link data to shapes, of which you can source from SharePoint, Excel. Now, that would be Excel services, by the way. Access database, SQL Server database. Let's go for SharePoint. And what it wants, then, is the URL to the list. So I'm going to copy and paste this and simply paste into the wizard. It then connects and says, well, yeah, you have a server list. Next. And then it adds that in as a data set. Now, I need to point out to you that when I right-click a shape here and open up the shape data, shapes can have properties. And all of these 5 shapes already have a network name. I can drag and drop. But before I do, let me minimize the number of columns. Let's just knock out the columns that aren't of use to us in this diagram. But by dragging and dropping a row, you associate DC1 here. And then what happens is it adds additional columns as properties. Now, because I have a match between network name and server, I can use this feature up here, which is to automatically link. And when I automatically link, I can say all shapes on the page where server maps to network name, go ahead and map them. And you'll see now down here the chain link icon is telling me that these rows have been connected to shapes. So the next thing would be to express these through what's called data graphics. So I'm going to define a data graphic that will show the name of the server and the status of it. By adding in an item, which will be the server represented as text, I want it to position in the center at the very top of the shape. I want it to use one of these templates and 16-point size. So the name of the server will appear above each shape, and the next item will be to convey status by using color by value. So the only color that it has available currently is running, and I don't know if red is the best color to convey that. So let's go ahead and make this green and add in a second one, which would be if it's stopped, then it should be red. And now with those 2 items and that graphic applied to all shapes on the diagram, we're conveying the data through the data graphic. All right, then if I came in and said, well, for the web server, it's actually stopped, I could override that value, and you'll see then it becomes red. And if I edit my data connection, which I need for this demo, I'm just going to overwrite to say that if a refresh happens and the value is different to that override that I just did, then the data wins, not my change. So let me complete the story. Now that I've saved this Visio diagram, I can even close the diagram. I can switch back to here, and I have a Visio diagrams library. So let me upload. The Visio diagram. So anyone that can authenticate now and has permission to access this document can simply click on the document, and then it is rendered in the web page. And it's querying live data. So as the statuses update, whether they're in a SharePoint list or coming from SQL Server, they'll be reflected on the shapes here of your diagram. Eventually. There we go. Everything seems to be on track. That's Visio Services. So there's a nice little story about bringing your diagrams to life based on certain data. An interesting story with the cube functions is that you can't connect to analysis services cubes in an on-prem scenario, but you could use an Excel workbook with the cube functions, and then you could represent them as a table, publish it, and Excel services then could be used to drive the data in Visio. So Visio to Excel, Excel to the cube via the cube functions. All right. Need to have a brief discussion, yet an important discussion, about Office and how it's made available to you. So Office 2013 versus Office 365, there is choice. And Office 365, people associate with the cloud. Yes, there is a cloud story, that when you have Office 365 and your subscription enables this, you can use SharePoint Online. You don't need to save on premises or on the desktop anymore. You publish, as I've just done, your documents to the cloud. That means anyone with internet access and authorization can access those documents. You've also got the Power BI story on top that we're about to talk about. Now, with Office 2013, it's all desktop. You're installing the applications on the desktop and you develop on the desktop. But need to make it absolutely clear that Office 365 is still the desktop applications. It's a different licensing model. In the lowest level, you're just getting the same experience, desktop applications. But with Office 365, if you want to go up a level, you have SharePoint Online and you have Power BI. So there's not a lot of difference in capabilities for the desktop applications, although already the Power BI story is starting to diverge. That if you have Office 365, you are getting newer and more features than if you're in Office 2013. So that's the incentive and the carrot that Microsoft are dangling in front of you to provide incentive to move across to Office 365. And a couple of other benefits would include deployment. So it uses C2R, click to run. You can deploy from the cloud to the desktop in a matter of minutes with a reasonable internet connection. No need for DVDs and other installation media. And the second benefit is that updates, like with Windows, when enabled, updates will just flow down. And so therefore, IT don't need to keep Office up to date with service packs and so on. With a hidden benefit there that new features will appear more regularly than waiting for a next release or a service pack. So you'll see that regular changes will flow through and new features will become available quickly when you subscribe to Office 365. So a last point about that is that Microsoft is stating that 25% of their customer base have moved across to Office 365. And I'm interested to know by show of hands here who is working for an organization that is using Office 365 today. And that's about 25% of the room. All right. They're happily, apparently, moving across to Office 365. So with Office 2013, you can use Power BI. Everything that I've demonstrated could be achieved with Office 2013. You can manage self-service BI and manage compliance of assets. Now, with Office 365 available as a subscription, deployed easily and quickly with C2R, some newer features, including BI functionality, are only available in this licensing mode. The SharePoint story comes next, so it's sharing and collaboration. It's all very well that I produced that workbook for sales per capita, and it lives on my desktop. But when my manager says to me that she needs it to be made available to all the state regional managers, and then she suggests to me that I attach it to an email and I send it out to them, my gut instinct tells me that this is not a clever thing to do. The supported ways to share a Power BI solution or any analytics solution with Excel is via SharePoint. So you have choice here as well. SharePoint on-premises would enable you to take that workbook, publish it to a library, and if you install the PowerPivot add-in with SharePoint Enterprise, you have the ability for automatic data refresh, you have the ability to connect to that workbook as an external data model. Another Excel desktop application could connect to your workbook in SharePoint and produce Power View reports. The other thing, if you install reporting services in integrated mode, you have the ability to work with Power View through the Web Explorer SharePoint on-prem. So there is an on-premises story to be told here. If, however, you move to SharePoint online, you can take that workbook and publish it to the cloud, and you can interact with the reports and the PowerPivot data. Now, with SharePoint Online, you're limited to a 10 megabyte maximum size, and there's no automatic data refresh. But if you then move to the Power BI story that we're about to tell, the premium subscription would give you Office applications on the desktop, SharePoint Online for storage, and with Power BI, you have the ability to store and to enable some very cool capabilities that I'll finish off with in a moment in demonstration. All right, so the slides here pretty much cover what I've described to you there. With SharePoint Online, this delivers the powerful features of SharePoint and Excel Online and Visio Online that I just demonstrated to you. With Power BI, you can publish Power Queries, secure them, make them discoverable, and share the query logic across others within your account. Power Pivot data models can be refreshed. Power View is supported as an interactive experience with a web browser, any supported browser like Chrome, Safari, Firefox, IE, or a mobile application that allows you to interact on a Surface device with your PowerView reports. Power Q&A, I'll demonstrate, allows using English natural language queries to respond with PowerView. And so you can discover the need perhaps not to create reports anymore, just publish a workbook and allow users to write questions and have PowerView reports automatically returned in response to those questions. And of course, there's all the story about it's in the cloud, it's accessible, it's secure, and it's being backed up. And IT can monitor the use of the services and the resources that are published. So here's the governance story coming in, whether it's SharePoint on-prem, SharePoint online, there's the ability to understand what the business are doing with their analytics solutions. All right, so the solution here switches across back to my Excel workbook. And I'm going to take this workbook and publish it. And some of the things you might do before publishing it might be cleaning things up a little bit. For example, I don't want this dashboard to even look like Excel, so I turn off the grid lines and the headings. I might reset some filters. And then I'll choose the perspective that I want people to first see, because this will become a thumbnail image as a preview when they're browsing the Power BI site. So let me use the Power View sheet for that. I'm going to save this workbook now. I can even close it. And then switch across and use my favorite to take me to the Power BI site. When it loads up the site that currently has sample documents, I'm simply going to drag the Excel document to upload it to the cloud. And so you can see down here that it's presently uploading that workbook. And at this stage, it's stored, it's been backed up, and only those that have permission to connect to this site and library will have access to it. And when they have access to it, as you see here, there's this preview. They can make it their featured report, and that's promoted now up here. They might determine that this will become a favorite, so it's easy to find at other times. And simply by clicking on the report, it is now Excel Online that is taking that workbook, rendering it through a browser experience, And all of those features, like slices, timelines, spark lines, are available for use here in this environment. There is no need to have Excel installed on the desktop, just a compatible browser. Connectivity and permission is the combination that you need. All right, because it's accessing Bing, it wants to enable this. And what's very cool is that you've deployed the workbook, including its data model, and that's all living up there. And that data model can also be configured to refresh automatically against internet sources and with IT's assistance against Oracle or SQL Server on-prem. So that Talspin's data could be maintained every night through a refresh, and there's nothing to do except connect and consume the current data. Fully interactive. Go to the previous year. Even the pivot tables are completely interactive. What happened in the prior year? And lastly, the dashboard, including apps for Office. Completely interactive. So what I like about this type of demo is that potentially with no code, you can produce some reasonably stunning visualizations across your data. So that's the Power BI story. Let me finish off with the Power Q&A. So what if we didn't have any reports? We just had published a workbook with a data model. Well, I could use Q&A here to say, show me sales per capita. And do you see? No, you don't. Because something you need to do is enable the workbook. So it's not available for Q&A until you actually configure that it is. So let me just go to the Power BI site. All right. Come down to the workbook and add to Q&A. That simply makes it available for searches in Q&A. Switch back to Q&A, and when I type in show sales per capita, it will determine across all the workbooks in the site that it is the Talspin Toys sales analysis. Show sales per capita. And there's our answer across all time. Well, let's say by state code. And it determines that that's a categorized column. It's a spatial column. Let's visualize this as a map where year is, and look at the, where year is CY 2012. And notice the options here. Well, let's try 2013. So it's using all of the goodness and research Microsoft have done at Bing, and they're generating this back to allow you to discover and explore across your model. And this may mean that you don't need to create lots of reports now. You just optimize the model for Q&A, and people just ask questions. Those questions, time permitting, can be made into featured questions that are then featured on the dashboard. And they can just click on the featured question, takes them straight to Q&A. And then they can further refine this by changing visualizations and also modifying filters or fields, all within a browser experience. That's exploring the SharePoint online and the Power BI site. SQL Server is part of the story as well, but it's not got a lot of new stuff to talk about. So we just wanted to add this slide to remind you that analysis services, reporting services still play a role and can enable self-service with Report Builder and other tools targeted for the analyst. One thing that is worth putting out is that there are data mining add-ins that work with analysis services. So the ability to data mine is also available. You can download add-ins today for Excel 27, 2007, 2010, 2013. These allow you to connect on-premises to analysis services and perform data mining within the workbook itself. So even beyond the audience of analysts, you have data scientists that can benefit from the Office productivity tools and add-ins. All right, so I did have a demo to show you forecasting with data mining, but time, unfortunately, won't permit in this session. So I'd like to wrap up now with the summary, and we'll just remind you that the story and the winning combination when it comes to enabling self-service business analytics is Excel for desktop productivity, enhanced with the Power Pivot add-ins. SharePoint for sharing and collaboration, whether it's SharePoint on-prem and the fuller story with SharePoint Online and the Power BI site. SQL Server driving the entire data platform has a big story to say as well. Microsoft continues to deliver on its long-term commitment to deliver BI to the masses, and the latest generation of Excel add-ins are witness to that. Office, and notably Excel, achieved this with native reporting capabilities and the Power BI add-ins, and SharePoint delivers content management, rich BI services, and governance capabilities. SQL Server contributes to Power BI out of interest. It's the analysis services team that delivered Power Pivot and reporting services that delivered Power View. Some resources if you're interested to take this further, but I do want to point you in the direction of related content here at this event. There are a number of hands-on labs. I've been lucky enough to be involved in the content creation. There are 6 hands-on labs on Power BI that if you start with the first lab in Power Pivot and you choose to do them in sequence, will tell the entire story of the 4 add-ins. And when you pick up with the second lab, you start with the solution of the first lab. So if you're interested in that experience, that is available here at the event. 4 of these have been selected for instructor-led labs, and that involves me as instructor leading you through the labs and providing a deeper discussion and addressing questions within a 75-minute session. You've missed the first one. That was scheduled for yesterday, but this afternoon I will be working through Tailspin Toys again with Power View preparation with Power Pivot, and then tomorrow we continue the story with Power View and then Power Map. I'm sorry, we don't do Power Map, but I will point out that the last one here is a unique opportunity to work with the Power BI site, and we will provide you credentials to connect, and then we'll be data refreshing from the instructor's machine and exploring Power BI and forecasting capabilities in Power BI. So a plug for these opportunities at the event this week. Standard resources like Channel 9, TechNet, Microsoft Learning, and the Developer Network, and we strongly encourage you to submit an evaluation. So there's a QR code here and a bigger one right here. Could you please take the opportunity to submit an evaluation, let us know what you think. Your feedback is very valuable to us to know how to best meet your needs at events like this. So I'll take this opportunity to thank you very much for your time and attendance. For those that won the badges, please come up and see me. And good luck with your Power BI adventures with Office 365. Thank you.